We just opened our last session with the little banner over the top from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, the things that accompany salvation, and we looked at devotion. For a few moments this afternoon, I want to look at declaration, and the thought of baptism. So Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, please. Acts chapter 2, 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28, and just the closing three verses, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You might have a note in your Bible in your margin there. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're just going to read verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think that will do us for reading for the moment. We'll look to read a couple more passages later on in the message. I basically want to divide this message into two main components. Incidentally, I was looking back through some of my earlier notes, and I used the same breakdown for my short message when Michelle was baptized at my home assembly back in 2020, wasn't it? But I want to look at these two headings. The first is that baptism accompanies salvation. Baptism accompanies salvation. And we want to just think a little bit about the separation between salvation and baptism. They are linked, but they are definitely separate. And then we want to look under the second heading. We want to think about baptism. It announces salvation. So baptism accompanies salvation, and it announces salvation. You know, when Paul was defending his apostleship, he said, Christ called me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Paul was sent very specifically to preach the gospel and see souls saved. He did identify a very small number of people that he personally baptized. But for the most part, he was sent, his work for the Lord was to preach the gospel and see souls saved. We started there in Acts chapter 2, and really there it just says that those that gladly received his word, they were saved. They were baptized. And then they were added to the assembly. When we look at Matthew chapter 28, again we've got three structures, don't we? We've got those, the action of making disciples, seeing souls saved. Those ones are to be baptized, and then they are to be taught the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can see here a very clear delineation between all of these different things. And so what we want to note very clearly is that baptism is linked with salvation, it accompanies salvation, but it is separate. You know, salvation is something that God does for us. Baptism is something that we do for Him. a simple step of obedience. Salvation is something that God does for us, and baptism is something that we do in response to Him and His request for us to be saved, for us to be baptized once we are saved. The eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he's journeying, he's asking all these questions. He's asking about the Lord Jesus, and he's referring there to those quoted verses of whom speaketh the prophet this of himself or some other man. And Philip was able to just say, he was able to take up that same scripture and he was able to present to him the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that would have been obviously the mention of baptism, because as they're going along in their chariot, he sees a place of water and he says, well, what's stopping me from being baptized? And if you're reading in the Authorized Version, in the King James Version, you'll see that verse 37 is there. And Philip basically says the only requirement for being baptized is that you must be saved. And so they stopped, and he went down and he baptized him. In Acts chapter 10, where Peter is there, Peter is there with Cornelius, and seeing the evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit there and those that were saved, he said, can any forbid water that these shouldn't be baptized? The evidence of salvation was so strong there in that household and those that had been saved that the instruction was that they should then be baptized. In Acts chapter 19, Paul comes across believers that hadn't been baptized. And he said, well, what was it? And they said that they had been baptized in John's baptism. And so they were baptized with believers' baptism. In the history of the assembly that I come from, there was a brother that came as an older brother to the assembly. And he had been baptized as an infant before his salvation. And when the scriptures and the teaching of the believers' baptism was shown him, he had the grace to ask to be baptized. And I refrain from using the word again, because it was not believers' baptism. And so he was baptized there as a believer and received into fellowship. Might have been him, it might have been his wife. It was before my time in that assembly. But that was the story there, that there was that incident of an infant's sprinkling baptism before they were saved. And so baptism is a step that is linked to our salvation, but is clearly separate from our salvation. Our salvation does not rely on baptism. And that's why I went to Ephesians chapter 2, because there it says that our salvation, it's not of ourselves. It's nothing that we can do. And yet baptism is something that we're asked to do. And so you can see that separation there in that regards. When we come to the second section of my message, baptism announces salvation, I just want to take a few more readings, please. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 first. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now come back to Romans, please, in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. And we are going to take a little bit of an extensive reading here, just because I don't know where to stop. So we're going to read the first 14 verses of Romans chapter 6, please. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that God Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. As we think about this second section that baptism announces salvation, we want to link it very clearly with the meaning of the word baptism. If you go back to its original meaning and its context of the at the time, it was the Greek word was used for immersing or submerging, immersing and submerging or dipping, in the sense of dyeing a garment. Now I'm in flooring, and when they're making, there's different ways of making carpet, but especially with the likes of wool, which is a natural fibre, they're immersing the yarn into huge, big, boiling vats of dye. And the only way to get your consistency is to completely take it under. And so the fabric is, the fibre is dyed by its immersion within the vat. I also used to do spot dyeing. But that's, you can see the difference, can't you? That if there was a drop of chlorine dropped on there and it just left a little dot of no dye, I could come along and I could patch it up, but it'll never be the same as the original. And so the only way to get that consistency is for complete immersion. And that's the use of the word that the Holy Spirit has brought into here, is that word of to be baptized, to be immersed, and to be under. But not only do we want to think of it in its original context and use of the word, we also want to think of it in relation to the symbolism of how the Lord describes it and uses it here. And he's linked it here in chapter 6 with the Lord's death and burial and resurrection. And we can say it with sensitivity, can't we, that in the natural course of event, one dies. And that body is taken and it's buried under the ground, completely covered. And just like the Lord's body was taken down carefully and placed in that tomb, out of sight, stoned to the door, and then God raised him in newness of life, that is what is being symbolized here in our baptism. It's our association with the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened inside that nobody could see is now being publicly displayed for those, for everyone to see. And so baptism is a public event, and it's something that I do as I link and associate my life with Christ. It announces to the world my salvation. It announces to the world that I am Christ's, that I am dead to my former self, the old man as we've got it here. That link has been broken. And while I've still got to live in the world, and while I've still got the flesh with me, I'm still going to have those temptations, but that link has been severed. So sin shall not have dominion over you. In fact, It's just slipped my mind, sorry. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provision for the flesh. And it's our association with him, isn't it? It is our linking with him in a very visible way. It is a public declaration that I have been linked with Christ, that I have been saved, that my old life is gone, and that I have a new life with new interests and new desires. I used to serve sin and self-interest. I now serve the Lord Christ, and I belong to Him. Just a few thoughts in relation to our baptism. Not only that it's just an event that we do when we're saved, not, as I referenced in my last message, not with the approach of a checkbox. Yes, done that, tick, move on. But no, it should, the reality of our baptism should influence my life every day. My association with Him and my raise to live and to walk in newness of life. Brother Marius mentioned the baptism of the Spirit. And I had enjoyed these few thoughts, and he just brought that out again, that in Acts chapter 2 you've got the event. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 5 you've got the expectation, wait for it, it's coming. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 you've got the explanation of what happened, we were. And so it's just that one-off event. But the baptism of the believer is something that is our responsibility to do. And then just as a side note, and I'm not going to encroach on hopefully our brother's ministry in relation to the local assembly, but you can see from Acts chapter 2, and you can see also from Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 to 28, that natural step of being baptized, of being saved, of being baptized, and then of joining an assembly. What did Saul do? After he was baptized, he went to Jerusalem and he tried to join himself to the disciples there. They were scared of him. They'd heard his history. They'd heard his background. They didn't know that he was genuinely saved. They thought it was a ploy to get in, to bring persecution. And so Barnabas came along, and we've heard about Barnabas, haven't we? Barnabas came along and he introduced them. And we read there that he was with the believers in their coming in and their going out. He joined the assembly. And so you can see that natural progression. They're saved, they're baptized, and they're to be taught. Those that gladly received the word were then baptized and added to the local assembly. And so just these few thoughts as I leave room for another, just another thing that just accompanies our salvation. Just the basic truths of that simple step of obedience and in association with our Lord Jesus Christ as we take a step of faith in baptism with Him, and then that how that influences and changes and influences our life day by day as we seek to live for Him and to serve Him in this life.